Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of The Ball Boys. We are the tennis podcast that puts the verse in metaverse. And based on the last 2 weeks, it's deja vu all over again with lots of repeats, three-peats, streaks, and throwbacks. I'm Paul Monkholm, one of your hosts. And as always, I'm joined by the ball who's always throwing it back, Billy Hansen. Hey, Billy, how's it going?
Oh, hey, Paul. It is going hard. It's going hard.
How's your week been?
My week has been a little up, down, all over the place. I was flattened by a bout of food poisoning. I have never had food poisoning like that. I don't want to blame the fried shrimp at Smorgasburg, but hey.
Not one of our sponsors. So you can blame them. It's fine. And although, actually, I'm going to blame the victim, because if you're getting fried shrimp at Smorgasburg, you're kind of making your own bed.
And then I'm sleeping in the sweaty...
the bouillabaisse.
Yes.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
The silver lining was, I mean, I'm emaciated. And...
Snatched! I know, you look so gaunt. I was going to call an ambulance when we first got on this Zoom.
Oh,
back I don't know if I should call an ambulance or my agent, like one or the other. Like, sign her, get her on the pictures.
Get that agent in the ambulance. That is first shoot, right? That is our test shoot.
That's a genius. No, I'm sorry. That's a genius business model. Like an agent who's just in the ambulance. Like, oh, there's been an overdose. Oh, there's someone who's passed out. Oh, there's someone who, like, right. They're going to sign talent in this town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do want to apologize, though, because I have put in a request with our merchandiser to resize all of the Ball Boys merch to accommodate my new Wayfish figure. So
it's baby tees, baby gap. It's just all crop tops now. Yeah. I get it. We celebrate diversity here. You look so different from me now.
Well, but you are growing out your hair. Which is,
I know,
absolutely controversial. I mean, it's borderline born a Chorich. I love it.
Like, it's born a line.
Yeah, we're starting to see the body of your hair.
You like my body?
I'm on board.
You
I'm
want a hot body? Do you know who that is?
I think it's Britney Spears. Work
no.
It,
you like what my body? You want a hot body?
Despite all of your beautiful choreography,
pantomiming. Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh.
Remember when she like did trim spa? She's like, "You like my body?" You
know? Speaking of models doing pop songs, have you heard Heidi Klum's new Sunglasses at Night cover?
No. Is it I Wear My Sunglasses at Night?
Yes. It's literally a cover of I Wear My Sunglasses at Night by Heidi Klum.
Yeah. Why is she doing this?
Possibly to promote a new season of Project Runway. I don't know, but it's.
Did she learn nothing from Seal? Or Seal is pissed. All right. Well, anyway.
Welcome, everybody. We're here.
We are here. So this week's episode, as we kind of teased at the top, is all about deja vu, because so many things have happened again for the first time. Over and over and over again in the last few weeks in the tennis world. Billy, have you ever had deja vu?
I have definitely had deja vu. Every time I set foot in the slammer, it's like, especially in that room that's like around the corner, down the aisle, you know, or to the left, that's where it really kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your cell. Yeah.
That's my cell.
Yeah. I mean,
Paul? Have you had deja vu?
I'm having a little bit of deja vu right now. And sorry, I can't stop playing with my hair because it's
not
so,
stop touching yourself.
It's like this wig. I don't
know. The divinals would be thrilled.
So would my barber.
You are fondling yourself to death.
I'm fondling of this hair.
It's fondle worthy.
I'm having a little bit of deja vu now. I just found out that I tore my labrum. So while you were laid up with your little intestinal issue, I didn't even know that boys had labrums, but it actually turns out that I do. I have two, And I actually tore the left one 10 years ago, and now I just found out that I've torn the right one. It's like 2012 was when this last one happened. And honestly, like, I feel like the Mayans were right. Like, everything's kind of sucked since 2012. This last decade, trash.
Don't sleep on the Mayans.
I want a redo. I want a mulligan. I want a Carey mulligan. Like, this is all bull crap. And so, yeah, my shoulder, if anybody has a great surgeon, and I don't just mean plastic surgeon, but if you know a little plastic surgeon, hit us up over at the Ball Boys.
Well, so it's your right labrum now, right?
It's the right one. Yeah.
Okay, well, at least you're a lefty. At least you can still serve those bombs
Exactly.
that
Exactly.
I watch whizzing by.
I don't even know what I was doing with my right arm that made this happen. But
I
I've
have
got
some
suspicions.
hypotheses. I have got some hypotheses.
Can't quite put my finger on it. I tried to put my finger on it. That's what happened.
Let's just say it happened after that trip to New Zealand and Australia, and we know what you got up to there.
Well, da
Down
everything's backward. Everything's
under.
backwards there. Left is right. Right is left. So it makes sense. I'm a righty. G'day. Well, a little bit of housekeeping since the last show. So everyone, thank you so much for joining in on the democratic process of
Oh,
voting for what is the
Jesus.
appropriate, what does room temperature mean to you? And we had a sweltering 74 degrees from Billy and a sensible sexual 69 from me. And despite some obvious ballot stuffing, I saw who voted, sir. 58% of you agree that 69 is the proper temperature. And Michael Cobb, my genius friend from the North, wrote in and said it's actually 68. Now, look, it's Canada where he is. So there's a different metric system there. So I think 68 actually converts to 69 US. So he
Yeah.
still agrees with me. So look, we can put this thing to bed and agree that I was correct.
Well, I will say that I want to redo the poll. I want to do it again because I made the mistake
Like as in a deja vu?
as in a deja vu.
Oh.
Yeah, people will be like, "Wait, I think I've seen."
Wait. It's just like voting for the same two presidential candidates again.
Right. Oh.
Deja vu. Oh, too
Oh
soon. Too
no.
soon.
Yeah.
Forget.
Oh.
Forget that. We'll cut that out.
Yeah, well, we'll redo the poll, and I think my mistake, because in full transparency, listeners slash daddies, I was the one who posted that poll, and I said a sultry 69, and I think the word sultry led people to think that it was hot and steamy and sexy, and it was a mistake.
Oh, so
And
if you wrote
so,
like a chilly 69.
yeah, a
Okay.
frigid 69, a cold
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
frigid and heartless
A, like
69.
a real bitch of a 69.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you have not followed us on Instagram, follow us for Christ's sake at TBB, as in the Ball Boys, TBB Pod Official, at TBB Pod Official. Follow us while you're at it. Go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Give us a follow, rate us 5 stars only. Tell your friends. Let's do it up. We're the Ball Boys are taking off, and we want as many people on our vessel as we can
Ooh.
accommodate.
I often hear like, Billy, you are just a vessel to be
Yeah.
filled. Yeah, follow us, rate us, and join us on, especially on Instagram, where you can help us settle all of these really important geopolitical debates, like what is
Yes.
proper room temperature.
Yes.
A little more housekeeping, just a quick apology to Juan Carlos Ferrero. I said that there's no way he was going to be back in action, but he must have ripped that IV out of his knee and he got himself down to Argentina to coach Mr. Alcaraz. And I just don't know if that airfare was worth it because Alcaraz definitely crashed out of Argentina and then injured himself in the first round of Rio. Maybe he and Carlos, maybe Juan Carlos and Carlos just shared a stretcher home. Like I don't know how they left that
Right.
continent, but it was not the trip that any of them were hoping for. So sorry, I said you weren't coming back. You did come back, Juan Carlos. Maybe you shouldn't have.
Well, you know, the cynic in me, we've talked about the cynic in me multiple times. There, in fact, might be multiple
There's
cynics in
multiple
me.
cynics, yes.
But I do think Carlos has been paid a pretty penny to show up at those tournaments over the past few years. He might have been fulfilling a contract. I don't think that he was faking that ankle roll.
No, you can't fake that. That video was pretty
No,
conclusive.
but
No.
okay.
No. No,
Don't
sir. No.
listen to
Look.
the which cynic in me should I
Do
listen
you
to?
want us to get sued? Do you want us to have to be the personal ball boys of Carlos Alcaraz for the rest of our lives?
Oh, you
You'll
know,
be in the slammer, but a different slammer, sir. I want
litigious
deja vu.
moments are my kink.
Well, you'll be hearing from my lawyer then.
Good.
At the slammer.
Right. Well, let's just say I hope Carlos gets better. We miss you, Carlos. I want Carlos to continue to be relevant. I don't want him to have a slump.
I know. Well,
So
he's having a slump. I don't think there's
he's
like
having a
a
mini,
question
right now
about
it's just a mini slump.
it. He has been a turd burger since the last fall. Like he's
Yeah.
not doing anything. It's rough. And people have figured out his game. But there's another apology. So, not only did I misspeak in previous episodes, Billy,
Yeah,
come
during
clean, please.
my food poisoning fever dreams, I speculated that Jessie Pegula was pregnant. Jessica Pegula is not pregnant. She's playing San Diego. Or maybe she is pregnant and playing San Diego.
Is she in the
I don't
doubles or
know.
singles?
Singles. She's
Oh,
the
so she's
top
not
seed.
pregnant. If she was in doubles, maybe she's pregnant.
It's not quite the draw we've seen in the past. I mean, Emma Navarro is the fourth seed.
Yeah.
I mean, and Emma Navarro, by the way, is ranked, I think, about 25, but
Oh, yeah.
still.
She's, well, I mean, that's the depth of the WTA, as some people would say.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So many names to learn, so many players
Well,
to get acquainted with.
it's really tough though because the San Diego Open is right on the heels of this Middle East double and right before Indian Wells. Like they found a sliver of the calendar, but it's going to be hard for them.
It's a quick turnaround. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the players playing in San Diego either lost early in Dubai or didn't play Dubai.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about our lobsbians for the week. So the things that have just made us a little bit gayer because of the world of tennis. And so I'll just jump in first. My
But
first
wait,
lobsbian.
Paul, quick question for you. Can I get gayer? Or have I reached
Are you
maximum
asking me
gay?
for permission to get gayer? Like, may you get gayer? Or like, can you, like,
That's
is it possible?
kind of meant to. I
Both.
want you to feel both
You're
questions,
kind of
please.
both. Yeah. So I do give you permission to get gayer.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
I think
Thank
it's
you.
going to be one of those things where now the challenge is going to be how do you possibly get even gayer?
What channel do I sift through to find additional gayness?
Is it
So
Tennis
many have
Channel
been
Plus?
maximized.
Tennis Channel After Dark? Like what
Ooh.
channel? I don't know, but you need to.
T2, which they keep talking about.
Well, funny enough, I have YouTube TV and they only air T2. They don't air Tennis Channel Normal. And so I'm like, it's like the Coke Zero of Tennis Channel. And it's just all this weirdly like tape delayed dubbed stuff and then so much Nick Kyrgios content. So
Oh,
it's
God.
rough.
I
It's
mean,
rough.
Jan Michael Gamble, bless his gay heart, is always commentating on tennis channels like, hey, if you want to check out that match, head over to T2. And I'm like,
I know.
where? I don't know where to find T2,
It's
but
just me, Sarah Connor, and the dregs of society. T2 is the best sequel ever made, by the way,
ever,
if anyone
ever.
doesn't know. It's Terminator 2.
I'm on
But
board.
anyway, so our lobsbians. So my lobsbian is public attention for tennis. So the new Challengers movie trailer just dropped. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's the new movie starring Zendaya by Luca Guadagnino, the guy who did Call Me By Your Name, whatever his name is. And so basically, like, it just makes it seem like everyone on the Challenger Tour is doing it. And so,
Right.
like, hey, and there's a lot of sort of implication that there is about to be a three-way in this movie. And so I'm here for it. I love it. I love it. And also, The Bachelor has been airing, and The Bachelor is a professional tennis player. Such a babe. Netflix has this live match coming out between Carlos and Nadal. I don't know how either one of them is going to play it because they're both injured. But, you know, it's just my last thing is that just there's tennis is in the zeitgeist. Even Amazon is coming out with a documentary on Federer. Hey.
I love it. I always love when tennis is in the zeitgeist. Might the ball be boys be responsible for this increased interest in tennis? Possibly. I mean, there seems to be a correlation. Is there a causation? We don't know. Right. But I will say the Challengers movie trailer, I think it's more than an implication. I think it's a downright, but they have a threesome. My question is since when are all tennis players emaciated like me after food poisoning, right? Like Zendaya, the two boys, they have no fat on them whatsoever, nor muscle. I no wonder Zendaya in the trailer snaps her knee in half. She has no muscle.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking about the people in top 10. So Medvedev is not exactly jacked. If we're talking about upper body strength,
right?
People like Rune, people like Sinner, people like even like Zverev, like they're wispy because you got to get able to move. So
right. Fine.
There we go. What's your lobs been?
Well, for me, it's like new butts, please. We've got some new faces and asses on the men's tour.
Which is which? Which end up?
I have.
How did we end up here? I'm gonna keep
going. I've certainly confused the two.
Who specifically are you talking about?
Well, I'm into Kovacevic, who's this 25-year-old American. He took Tsitsipas to I think three sets, or at least two close sets in the quarters of Los Cabos. I mean, I just enjoyed the jiggle of his butt. It's that simple. You had a new butts please contender who you wanted to talk about.
Oh yeah, I mean my discovery as a modeling agent, I've discovered Jakub Mensik.
Was he in an ambulance?
Yes. He's got those sort of Eastern European eyes that are kind of a light blue with a bit of like an eagle nose that just kind of, it's this very, for me, attractive look. And he also had a very attractive week. I mean, he made it to the finals.
Yeah, what a run.
I mean, what a run of Cutter, and he beat people like ADF. He had the longest match in history. Sorry, not Cutter, Dubai. The longest match ever in Dubai by beating Andy Murray.
Right.
And he just turned 18. I mean, I have no idea what he looked like when he was 17. I have no idea if he was attractive at 17, but he's 18, right. And he is a very handsome young man. New butts, please. Well, okay, so Billy, we've got a ton of tennis to cover. Why don't you join me in the winner circle?
I can't wait. Getting right there. Yeah.
So after the last few weeks, look, we're seeing the ghosts in the machine. We're seeing the Matrix. Like we could not stop seeing things happen again, over and over and over again. And so it's been all about deja vu. And so we can just start talking about some of these. Like, what do we mean by this? Well, so first of all, Cutter. The first swing of the premier level tournaments for the ladies in the Middle East was in Qatar. And Iga, she won. She trounced the field, and it was a three-peat. So she's won for the third time straight. And she did it in such a dominant way. She didn't drop a set, bagels, breadsticks everywhere. She really seems to peak in spring. Is Iga a spring?
You know...
What are her colors?
In terms of her colorway?
Yeah.
She looked great in Doha. And she beat Rybakina, too, in the final. It's not like she, you know, benefited from a cakey draw. We'll get
She did have a semifinal walkover.
True.
Pliskova. So, because poor Pliskova, I think she'd played for 20 days straight, and she was just like, I'm tired. I can't.
Do you think it was just that she was tired, like, and she didn't think she could beat Iga? Because
well,
she came,
she actually
she
had an
bounced back and
MRI.
do. Oh, she did?
Yeah, she like she felt a tweak in her leg, and she was like, "I need to have an MRI." Because she'd played, so, she went to, from Transylvania qualies to Doha, and was just like, "I mean, I'm so happy for Pliskova. She's well back into the, I think into like the mid 30s of rankings, and
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And her
She's
game, I love her game. She just bats the fuck out of it.
What's so great about her game is how there are no extraneous movements, right? Every stroke is so compact. Her serve, her forehand, her backhand gets the job done in such an efficient way. Her acceleration is perfect. It's, you know, clean ball striker. And
when it's
she's,
on, it's on. Like when she hits clean, like she's one though where it's like if it's off, it's off. Like that's like that sort of what you're talking about last episode where it's out of these first strike balls or like, you know, I don't know if she's got that nuance to kind of rein it in.
She tries to run down some balls and play defense sometimes, but yeah, I wonder if, you know, is she going to take a slam? She's almost 32.
I know her time clock is ticking.
Fun fact, I was actually looking at the WTA top 10, and as much as we talk about players doing so well into their 30s, there is not a player over 30 in the WTA top 10. And other than Novak, there's not a player over 30 in the ATP top 10. And I thought that was peculiar. So Pliskova at almost 32 is an outlier.
Well, I think that we got used to these folks, you know, the Serenas, the Rogers playing so late in life that we're like, oh, everyone does that. But yeah, it is not the norm. These were the exceptional, not the rules. So yeah. And we'll see. I mean, it's interesting though, Cutter, the quarterfinal also felt like a deja vu. We had Naomi and Pliskova.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was so Naomi Osaka, Caroline Pliskova, what a match. Like that quarterfinal was, and like it's finally
fireworks.
Naomi is coming back. Well, speaking of fireworks, the fireworks at the award ceremony for Iga were insane. I was watching them. I took all these photos because like this is pyrotechnics at a level that is almost vulgar, and it's hard to make fireworks vulgar because the fireworks are usually very subtle. But it was like so scary. It was scary. Like Iga was like, oh my god. Like she was like, what is going? It was insane.
I'm sorry. I don't care where I am. I do not need to hear fireworks because they sound a lot like gunfire. I don't and artillery. Yeah. I do not need to hear spontaneous fireworks ever. Are you a fireworks fan?
Not even a little bit.
Not me neither.
I like it. I like it for literally 35 seconds, and then I'm just like, okay, I've seen it.
28 seconds for me.
I'm good. Yeah. I don't need to continue this charade.
But I will agree with you that match, Naomi versus Pliskova, was great. Naomi, she's had really tough draws with her comeback. But in terms of her actual game, I think it looks pretty damn good. And I think she might be gearing up for a couple big results in Indian Wells and Miami. What do you think?
I think she's got a shot. I think it depends if she plays someone named Caroline. So... Another deja vu, like, look, I know you think you just heard me talk about deja vu, but deja vu is happening again.
Yeah.
Because of her 8 matches she's played so far this year, 4 of them have been played against Pliskova or Garcia. So if your name is Caroline or Carolina, you're playing Naomi Osaka, usually in an early round.
Right. Right.
Wild. Crazy. And so her
and
draws.
Then her other matches have been against Collins and Kerber. I mean, she has had tough draws.
Yeah. I mean, I think that she's definitely got a shot to. I mean, I'm happy of where she is. I don't know if she is gonna make the breakthrough this year, but I think she'll be. I think she's gonna jump up into the top 30, and then maybe once she's seated, has a little bit of an easier draw. But it's a tough road. I mean, we've been talking about this. The women's tournaments are almost inverted, where the most interesting matches are earlier in the tournament.
Right.
By the end, it's like you get Paolini versus Kalinskaya. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, so we're moving on to Dubai. That was the second 1,000. So back-to-back 1,000s, 64 player draws. And the final wound up being Anna Kalinskaya from Russia versus Jasmine Paolini from Italy. Very talented players. And that final was a barn burner.
Yeah, they've both been on my radar. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea who
Yeah.
that, I had no idea who the hell they were going in. I mean, I'd seen them a little bit, but I wasn't
Right.
really. And again, it's a little deja vu-y where it's like, well, the WTA, you don't really know what to expect. So once again, we got a final where it's like, oh yeah, like it felt kind of like Layla versus Raducanu in that US Open. It's just like, oh, okay, sure. But you're right, it was a great final. What I loved is that both of these players met the moment. They were not the
Yes.
nerves. They were not playing nervous. They weren't playing tentative. They were playing to win, not to
Yeah.
not lose. And it was a really good match. Three
And
sets.
maybe that's because they both knew they had a really good shot at winning the titles versus playing, a Svion, well,
A
all,
Pliskova.
yeah, Kalinskaya beat Świątek and Goff and someone else in the top 10 leading up to this final. Her game is very impressive, but and now Jasmine Paolini is going to be
But
ranked
then Jasmine
14th.
won. Just to be clear, Jasmine actually won the final over
Jasmine
Kalinskaya.
Paolini won the final 7-5 in the third. She's going to be ranked 14th when the new rankings come out right now, live on tape.
She's 5'4", ranked
Right?
14th.
Yeah.
She is
Yeah.
compact. She's got like that Irani body style. Hopefully not the
Minus
Irani
doping
doping style.
habits.
Jinx. Although, fun fact, so more deja vu.
Oh my
The
God.
last final that Jasmine Paolini was in was
Yeah.
called the Jasmine Open. You can't make this up. It was last year in Tunisia. I think only players named Jasmine are allowed to play at the Jasmine Open, but it's a legit tournament. It's like a 250.
Did Princess
And
Jasmine play?
Princess Jasmine played. Yeah, she was on the qualies. She was there. Jasmine Bleeth was there. Jasmine Guy, and my friend Jared from New Zealand, who I was visiting, his Instagram is Jazzman, so he was playing in it as well. So it was a really stacked field, like
Sounds
loaded.
like an electrifying watch. Riveting.
But then she, in that final, she lost somehow to Elise Mertens. But maybe Elise's middle name is Jasmine. But just funny, like, oh, your last final was at the Jasmine Open, Jasmine. Look at
Yeah,
that.
and the thing is like I'm just so gun shy at this point because we've been teased so often, and I like being teased, but at a certain point, like do we start quatching Kalinskaya? Do we start
No.
quatching Paolini? Like, oh, is it
No.
like okay, now they're going to be factors on the tour? Well, I mean, because of course we had Naskova and Yastremska make those runs in Australia. They neither of them did anything during the Middle East swing. Remember Caroline Dullahyde? She got to the final of that Guadalajara 1000 tournament
She
back
was poised
late
to be
last
the
year.
next big thing.
Yeah.
Or she out.
And so I'm just fool me 17 times. Shame on me.
And the optimist in you
Yes.
who kind of elbows his way in next to the cynic in you, because sometimes when they're
Well,
both in you,
multiple
yeah,
cynics.
there's like a bunch of cynics and the one optimist in you, and that's when I think the true you comes out.
Yeah.
I know that you want it to be like, oh yeah, it's great. It's great for tennis, it's great stories. And look, it's tough because I'm not going to invest in either of these players until there's at least another couple of runs.
Well, it's like our weekly novella, right? It's like, ooh, we got a little novella for the week. Like, oh, it's Kalinskaya Paolini. Like, I love this little, but like, I also need my, narrative arcs that last a little longer, that go for the whole year, go for maybe 5, 10 years.
I need my Grey's Anatomy right
Yes.
alongside my beef. You know,
Right.
there's a limited
Right.
run series, and then there's like the tried and true.
Right now we're getting too much beef, which I never thought I'd say.
Not
And
enough Gay's Anatomy.
exactly. Yeah.
Although it is funny, I was watching, and I was sure by the third set that Kalinskaya had it. I mean, she was
Right.
more dominant, and then I was like, oh right, Russians can't finish. It's just like Medvedev in the Australian Open final. He was up. It's very much like Putin and his war. He just can't,
Oh,
like, I
God.
mean, Russians, they just can't get it. They cannot get it over the line.
He finished off Navalny. Edit that
Next. Well, so looking at the men, so
Yes.
look, more deja vu. So Delray Open came right on the heels of the Dallas Open, which my husband won. More deja vu. Taylor Fritz had a repeat in Delray, so he won again. He beat Tommy Paul in the finals. So Tommy Paul made it to his second final in a row. Some good tennis, but also it was very much like a sort of a regional production, off-Broadway production of A Star Is Born, because no one really cares about the Delray Open, but it was interesting.
Oh,
the Delray Open courts, it was, so they have, you know, speaking of Broadway, the great Broadway, they have those seats on the court that are those like loungers that are literally set up right next to the player's towel box. So whenever a player is going to wipe off, they're literally just sitting there. And I couldn't help but getting anxious, because like with you, with your flus and your tummy aches, like how do they leave to go to the bathroom? You know, like do they get up and like what, and or if they want to have like a sip of water, like, or if they move, like they're literally sat on the court. It's the most awkward position ever.
Mm.
And they had a car on the court.
Right.
And people were sat in the car watching the tennis.
There were a lot of obstacles on that court. And, you know, not only were there physical obstacles, but I do feel like there were emotional obstacles, because I do, you know, Taylor and Tommy, they go back, right? They play the juniors. I think that there was a time where Taylor may have bankrolled Tommy's career a little bit.
Is this the same as Carlos tanking and Jessica Pegula being pregnant? Our next episode is just going to be called "I'm Sorry." What is it going to be called?
How do we get out of all these lawsuits? So, Taylor is famously wealthy. Like, he comes from a lot of wealth. He had a big compound growing up in Rancho Santa Fe, which is. I grew up in San Diego as well. You know, I know that neighborhood.
Oh, was his compound next to your compound?
Yeah. Oh. We had adjacent, adjoining even compounds.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah. There was some shared space underneath. But I think, you know, Tommy might have come out to train there for a few months. They certainly lived in Boca together for a while. That house might have been bankrolled by Fritz's family. I think Tracy Austin.
No, that was a Sean Cody house. So the Rio Open also is just finished up today. And honestly, who cares about the winner? Because we had deja vu yet again. Yet again. Because right. So the Rio Open is where Carlos Alcaraz rolled his ankle. And last year, which I was thinking about it, this is actually the anniversary of our first episode where we were talking about the Pirate Open and Carlos Alcaraz playing last year. Because he was basically playing the final on one leg because he was severely cramped or somehow injured in his leg. And
I'm
this
getting
year,
all nostalgic now.
Getting a little misty.
Yeah.
You're feeling moist.
Teary. Yeah. I am.
Yeah.
The cynics have left my body for just a moment, and it's just that optimist pounding away.
Is that what that sound was? That whoosh?
It's the oppressive sound of optimism.
I was like, name that grunt? Yeah, so, but again, Alcaraz injures himself. So maybe he should stop going to Rio. Maybe this is his.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, I'm a little worried about his long-term prospects. Is he going to just have an injury-riddled career? Like, is his body just not going to be able to hold up? Also, how the hell are, so this Friday, this coming Friday, the 1st,
yeah,
he and Nadal are playing live on Netflix in Vegas. Like, how are they going to do that? Like, they're both held together by tape and a prayer. Like, what is this going to look like? Why are they doing this?
They're doing it because they got paid a ton of money. It's great for tennis. I'm excited to see it. They might need full body. They might need full body massages between every point.
Like every point. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, or like they've got to be playing in a protective court. Like it's got to be like rubberized or made of marshmallow, like put them in that sphere and just fill it with foam. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be the most competitive, but I bet I can tell you right now what the score is going to be. It's going to be a three setter and there's going to be one tie break in the second set And Nadal is going to, no, sorry, Carlos is going to win in three, and the last set's going to be 6-4.
Are they playing have you looked at what they're playing? Because I would bet that if it goes three, that the third set is like a super tiebreak or something for TV purposes.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
And that you're right. They're going to, one's going to win the first, the other's going to win the second, and then it's a free for all in that super tiebreak. Yeah. But yeah,
then the claws come out.
We still, and hopefully have good camera angles for those full body massages between every point.
Oh, I mean, Las Vegas is 39% cameras at this point. So that we'll see everything. Everything in that town is monitored. I mean, I saw Casino. I know what happens. You can't steal a chip in that town. And I love Pringles. Well, did you see that? Speaking of Nadal, that photo with him and Novak sharing a plane on the way over to the U.S.
photo,
which is just everything about it was weird. Everything about them flying together is weird.
I don't need that bromance, first of all.
No,
at
if,
all.
If Nadal starts like sort of simping for Djokovic the way Kyrgios did,
no.
I mean, so eagle-eyed Matt Paluch, hey Paluch,
hey,
your
Matt.
Rival. He did some sleuthing, and he's like, yeah, they now follow each other. So Novak and Rafa famously did not follow each other on Instagram, and now they do follow each other. And I'm just wondering, like, oh, because they're still on the tour, like, is Roger on the outs now? Are they the besties? I hope not, because you're right. I'm going to get more invested in the Paolini-Kalinskaya rivalry than the Novak-Rafa friendship.
I mean, I will say that a follow for me does not a relationship make. I follow a lot of people who
have asked you to stop following them. Are you talking about on the street or on Instagram?
On the
when
street.
When you follow them.
You know,
okay, yeah.
Vaseline Alley, mostly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait, who is that?
Yeah. No, but
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, you can throw someone a follow. That's not.
But they were noteworthy about not following each other. It was entered into the record as like,
right.
Okay, they don't follow each other. Novak has gone on record saying like, look, these are guys are my rivals, they're not my friends. And it's just sort of like, are they all turning into Twilight Grandpa and just sort of like, oh, we all loved each other all along, or you know, it's just, it's a shift. I don't need it. I wish they were in opposite planes, and I actually wish that their two planes were racing each other.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know what'll be interesting is if Nadal can get his game in shape, right, and can actually be a factor on clay this year, and then he becomes maybe a threat to win the French Open, and of course Novak wants that too. You know, how many of those cute little photos will we see then?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question, right? It's easy now with Nadal being a non-factor.
Yeah. Because Novak is still a bit of a see you
next Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Nadal's hair in that selfie?
Look, I think
growing it out like you
he's
are.
Growing, I took that photo to my barber. I was like, give me that.
Yeah.
And so he did. Maybe he's the before and I'm the after. I don't know. It was not the greatest look for him. And it's interesting because it's sort of like for someone who clearly has grown and through adulthood in the public eye, that he just doesn't give a crap what he looks like in a photo. Like it was just not, it was a selfie that an old man would take. It was too close. The hair was terrible. And I'm not sure he was looking at the camera or right next to the camera, but it was just sort of a daughtery. It was.
And I, as you know, Paul, you know too much about me already, but I don't mind a balding man. I don't mind a thin hair.
I love a bald guy.
Yeah.
I absolutely love a
bald
guy.
Don't give a fuck. Own it. Right. It's great. The question to me is if you're thinning to the extent that Nadal is thinning,
I don't know if that's thinning or starving at this point. Like,
That is me on food poisoning times two.
Yeah, yeah. You wish you were that thin.
Exactly. Like, is that when you keep your hair grown out, or maybe is that when you buzz it up a little bit? Right. Like,
yeah.
That's the choice I'm questioning. It's not the fact that you know, Nadal has thinning hair. That's fine. No. That happens to most guys, right?
It happens to the worst of us.
Yeah. You and me being exceptions, of course, but.
Oh, well, we made deals with the devil.
Mm-hmm. We made what with the devil?
D's. We made D's with the D's nuts. We made D's with the, we made deals with the devil.
We did.
Yeah. For yeah. Ball Boys podcast and nice hair. That's kind of a roundup of deja vu in
yep.
the world of tennis. And yep. we're going to come back with our flops and our bops.
Love it.
Musical interlude. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. So we're back with our flops and our bops, which is the highlights, lowlights, and midlights of the tennis tour. And it's keeping with the theme of deja vu, we're going to talk about some reunifications going on. And I don't just mean geopolitical, but in the case of Holger Rune and Patrick Mouragatoglou, they are back together. So they had a pretty bitter split last year. You know, two very strong-headed, bull-headed characters. But they both kind of need each other. They're both kind of lost. You know, Rune got dumped by Becker.
They're both social media whores.
They're both social media whores. And did you see the footage that Rune, I think it was just to a story of just him hitting forehands topless, like just smacking balls. And it was good and he looked very strong, but they were it was like what you would feed a 9-year-old intermediate player. Like there was like, well, right. of course you're going to smack the fuck. Like it's just easy feed after easy feed after. It's just like, okay.
Maybe he was just trying to find his form again. I mean, I do wonder though, in terms of their financial relationship, like how much is Holger paying Patrick versus like Patrick being like, I'll take you on for my brand. I feel like there's a lot of, Patrick is very interested in branding.
Oh yeah. Well, cause right now who is on his roster? I mean, when I saw him at the Australian Open, he was watching the girls matches. Cause that was kind of his main player. Like who does he have?
I think it's a bop.
Yeah.
Is, you know, Sakkari's bun, right? Her top knot, that bun on the top of Maria Sakkari's head.
It gives me a migraine when I think about how tight it's pulled. Although with my new hair, I think I can get one.
I can't wait. But, you know, that top knot of Maria Sakkari has been the most consistent thing on the WTA, really, right? Like, I mean, Sakkari's bun has shifted 90 degrees from the top of her head to the back of her head. It's a chignon now.
It's a what?
A chignon.
What'd you call me? I've never heard that word. A chignon.
A chignon. It's like a lower bun. It's French origin. Yeah, lower bun out of the back of your head. And
how do you spell that?
You spell it chignon.
Oh, it's like filet mignon, but chignon.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Oh, have you ever had a filet chignon?
It's the only steak it's the only red meat I eat.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
Raw.
Mm.
You know what they call like barely cooked in French?
No.
In France, they call it bleu. Like if you want the steak to just have been like, to just touch the grill for a millisecond, it's bleu, which means blue, interestingly.
Oh, I thought it meant like blood, but maybe that's more like Transylvania. Bleu. Bleu. Well, yeah, that is quite I guess that's a bop. I'm glad that she's trying new things because she's also looking for a new coach.
Exactly. So that's the bop, is that I think Maria Sakkari needed a little to change things up a little bit. And so prefer the top knot or the chignon, she's mixing things up. Maybe she'll have that long awaited slam breakthrough. Yeah. Do you have a flop for us, Paul?
Yeah. So my flop is, and apologies for not bringing this up earlier because of all the airtime we give her, but Danielle freaking Collins is retiring from tennis this year.
So she says, yeah.
Well, she said a couple of times, and it started off at the Australian Open, and she said this is going to be her last year on tour. She wants to focus on family. Like, you know that she's about to have kids and just fully, she's kind of over this life. And I think it's a terrible decision. I think she has at least 3, 4 good years left, and make that fucking money. Like, overcommit, because she can beat pretty much anyone on a good day. And it's just a little unfortunate because it's not like she's been around for a long time. Yes, she is a bit older than the average player,
Right, she's
but she,
30. She's
yeah.
30. Yeah.
And but she's only been on our radars for maybe the last 5 years. Like she was not a
Right.
phenom, and she's
Yeah.
even said she's not a phenom, but
Which is
she's
kind of one of
good.
the cool things about her, right? Is
Yeah.
that she, came from nothing. She came from very modest means. She played on public courts. She played at the public club and like played against 80-year-olds and 60-year-olds and figured out how to play against slice and slicing and dicing and all sorts of,
That's how she trained. She was like, I'm going to start with the 80-year-olds, and then I'm going to move to the 70-year-olds, and then the
Exactly.
60-year-olds, and now she's down in the pros and she's giving it up. I think about that money. Like, look, she could make a couple million a year for the next couple of years. Like, what's she going to do the rest of her life?
She said she wanted to focus on family.
Or maybe join the nonprofit Focus on the Family. I'm not sure, but
Oh, I just donated to that. That's a good cause, right? I have a hypothesis. It might be as incorrect as my hypothesis about Jessica Pegula's pregnancy, but do you think Danielle's been lying about her age this whole time? And she's been lying. She's actually 40.
I thought you were gonna say the other way, like she's actually 18. Because I could see either way. It's kind of like, do you remember that great horror movie, The Orphan, where it's this girl is adopted from, I think, Romania, somewhere in Eastern Europe, and
Transylvania.
Transylvania, and she ends up being a 37-year-old circus performer who had
Oh,
who was
yeah.
just and the only way to tell was that she had a ribbon around her throat that showed a scar, and somehow that meant, like, oh, obviously she's old. So, with Danielle Collins, who knows? It could go either way. But either way, I think it's a giant flop, because I just love talking about her.
Right.
She and like Coco Vandeweghe are just going to go off and drink white wine spritzers for the rest of their lives, and that's great, but I wish there was more Danielle on court.
Me too. And my favorite thing, because of her ranking, it was around like 72 when the Middle East swing started. She had to play qualies at, I believe, Mubadala, which is in Abu Dhabi, and then Doha and Dubai. She had to play qualies in all three. And then after posting great results in Abu Dhabi and Doha, she pulled out of Dubai qualifying with, quote, a headache, which to pull out of a qualifying tournament with a headache is great. And that's why we love Danielle. That is why, because that was a little sassy. She's like, you know what? I've just beaten a bunch of great players. Give me a wild card or fuck off.
Well, and I mean, I feel like you're always using that excuse on me. Like, not tonight, Paul. I have a headache. I mean, it's a classic. So I get it. Yeah.
I have so many excuses I have to juggle with you
So,
that I
which one was
recycle.
it? Which one was it? Yeah. No,
Yeah.
I've never seen someone menstruate so much. Well, okay. My final bop, and this is a quick and easy one and l much less controversial, but it's the OnlyFans sponsorship that has popped up on the Pro Tour. So, Alexander Mueller is now sponsored by OnlyFans. So on his kit, you can see their little logo, and he has an OnlyFans profile. But
Have you
here's the tricky
subscribed?
thing. Here's the tricky thing.
Okay.
He is not the only Alex Mueller. So when you are searching for Alex Mueller on OnlyFans, you're going to get a few different results, and they are all very different. And I think that's where it's going to be a challenge for OnlyFans to really sort of conquer this market, because if you have a name that is not extremely unique, there's probably someone else on OnlyFans doing things that you might not want to be associated with.
Oh, question for you, Paul. Sounds
Yes.
like you maybe looked up these various
I
Alexander
went down a
Muellers,
rabbit hole.
and that maybe you subscribed to the one you didn't think you were subscribing to, and maybe you saw some things you can't unsee.
Look, you know me in technology. Like, oops, did I just give my credit card number? Did I just sign up for 12 months of this? Oh no. Like, that's what I do.
Oh,
It's fine.
shucks. Oh,
Yeah.
shucks.
But OnlyFans, I A for effort, F for execution, and it's this is not something that we will be watching much of in the future. All right. Well, last thing is just the future bop. So looking ahead, folks, we want to give you a quick heads up because Indian Wells is coming up. And yes. So lots of big names are going to be there. Venus is going to be there for the first time in a couple of years. Novak is going to be there for the first time in a couple of years. Rafa is going to be there. And yes, the Ball Boys are going to be there. So lots of big names are showing up. And so Monday, March 11th, everybody mark your calendars, buy tickets now. The Ball Boys are going to be roving the grounds and we want to meet up with you. So it's going to be in the afternoon. We're trying to locate now the underground Pride Hub or Pride Bunker or the Rainbow Hot Dog Cart or whatever it is that is going to be the place for the LGs and the Bs and the Ts and the Qs to coagulate. So tune in next episode. So next episode, we're going to have the details. But if you're going there on the 11th, we would love to see you. We're going to have some T-shirts. We're going to have some fun, have some drinks, and come and hang out with us. So just get ready for that.
I do have a challenge for you, Paul. Yes. You cannot cut your hair before Ball Boys Day, before Monday, March 11th. You have to keep it growing. Wait, can you accept that challenge?
Challenge accepted.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can't wait to see those curls.
Challenge. How many challenges remaining do I have? But also, our friends at Ace the Moon are out there. They've got a pop-up going on. And so we're going to be meeting up with them. We did an event with them last year. We've got some stuff coming up. And so they are at Mojave Trading Post. So we will be going there live. And also next episode, just tune in because we might just have a discount code for you. And this isn't one of our very, very legitimate sponsorships like Bidet Mate, but this is actually something where you can get a discount code that works.
Or Pinchettas, right?
Sure, delicious.
I love the folks at Ace the Moon, but I think their pop-up shop at Mojave Trading Post is open as we speak. So go check it out if you're in the Palm Springs area.
Check it out. Billy, thanks again for a wonderful episode. And we will be back in about a week and a half. Because Indian Wells is starting in a week and a half, and we're going to have a little preview of what's going to happen. And with our predictions, we will let you know who to put all of your money on.
I can't wait.
Amazing. Thanks again, Billy. And thanks, everybody. And we will see you real soon.
Bye, Paul.
Bye.